I'm Sharon Brett Kelly, and today on The Detail, I'm outside the brand new surgical centre on Auckland's North Shore. It's called Tōtara Haumaru. It's all finished. You can, even walking around it, you can see that there's beds in there, there's furniture wrapped in plastic. It is all ready to go. But there's no people in there. And we actually don't know when it will start working as a hospital. At the same time, there are hospitals around the country crying out to be upgraded, and we all know about the long, long lists of people waiting for surgery. So what's going on here? Well, I'm with RNZ's health correspondent, Rowan Quinn, who broke this story. What is going on here, Rowan?
It's a big question, Sharon. It's been in the pipeline for a long time. So it was years ago when it was still, we still had district health boards, that this building, work was started on this building, and it replaced the old maternity hospital that used to be here. In the old days when they first started talking about it, they called it a new hospital. So it really is hospital size. It's been compared to a similar size to Southland Hospital or Taranaki Base Hospital. And it's, as you said, it's there, it's ready to go, but no one can go in it yet. Now, why? That is a big question. At the very most simple level, I guess you could say there are no staff in it, and it doesn't yet have an operating budget. So what Te Whatu Ora says is the reason that hasn't happened is that it didn't want to take valuable resources that are doing operations in other parts of the city and divert them here if it wasn't ready to go.
That's what I kind of don't understand. I mean, it's a, what, a four-storey building, costs $320 million. Right. This has been on the books for a long, long time. I don't understand why it can't be organised that there are people to work in it.
And that's what doctors here will tell you too. They've seen it going up floor by floor. They say they are looking out their windows in the old hospital building and going, why can't we come over to this one? They can't understand the argument that Te Whatu Ora is putting up. And that is that, you know, we have these surgical waiting lists and everything is managed as a region now. So this facility here is going to treat patients from Whangarei to right round the Auckland region, you know, the Waitemata district, which is where we are, that's the north and west of Auckland, South Auckland, Central Auckland. So you have these big waiting lists, and Te Whatu Ora has to decide where all those surgeries will be done, and a lot of them are done in the public system, a lot of them are currently done in private hospitals. So what Te Whatu Ora is saying is they weren't 100% that this would be finished in April, so they were reluctant to take people and staff and the resources needed to do those surgeries, to commit them to this building, when it wasn't, if they weren't 100% sure that it was going to be finished. So then patients that were booked in for surgery might not have it happen, staff would have been diverted here, and then it wouldn't have gone ahead. But of course, what these doctors here at the hospital are saying is, as you pointed out, it's been years and years and years in the making. It was originally supposed to open in December 2023, but for a long time now, it's been April is the date. They just can't understand why it's not up and running.
We went for a walk around, and you can hear in the background that there is some work going on outside. It looks like it might be, I don't know, landscaping work or something to do around the back of the place. But it's all beautifully, it's actually, there's trees, it's all planted. I mean, it is ready to go.
Yeah.
So, and you were telling me that actually it's had sign-off from Auckland Council.
Yeah, so I think there's a little bit of tinkering still going around on the edges. You know, we saw a few guys with ladders up, looked like they were doing something with the lights, but the lights are on. You can see all the way up to the fourth level of this that there are lights on. But yeah, it's had council sign-off. Te Whatu Ora says construction is complete. I guess now the fact that the opening is delayed means that they do have a little bit more time to tinker around the edges.
So I should mention that it's a windy, it's a stormy day here.
Yeah.
But can we take it back? When did you first hear about this, Rowan?
Well, I first heard about the building years ago when I used to come and go to DHB meetings, and they were very excited about this happening and pulling down the old building here that was more than 50 years old. I think it had been the old maternity hospital and a lot of babies born here. But then just at the start of this year, I just started to hear whistles where people were like, Totara Haumaru is due to open in April. There are whispers among doctors that it doesn't have an operating budget and that it doesn't have staff. So, yeah, I just waited till April and tried to find out when it was opening, and Te Whatu Ora wouldn't say when it was opening, and eventually it was very clear that it wouldn't be this month. And indeed, it doesn't have an operating budget. When I spoke to Fiona Dugan, who is in charge of hospitals for the whole country for Te Whatu Ora, she said that they were still working through the financial 24-25 year budget.
We don't have a date for it to be fully up and running, because that is a long-term strategy requiring us to be funded for additional work so that we can make best use of the full capacity.
So there's a big question mark over how much money is going to be needed to fund this and how much is going to be allocated to fund its operation.
You and I have talked a little bit in the past about how difficult it is sometimes getting information out of Te Whatu Ora about important things like this that you think, you know, the public really need to know about. Was it forthcoming on this?
Eventually, I did get an interview with Fiona Dugan, who's in charge of all those hospitals. It did take me quite a while to tie down the fact that it wouldn't be opening in April. They just kept saying it'll be opening mid-year, and I thought, well, technically April could, it was borderline mid-year. Eventually I did get that. I'd like to know more about the business case and the operating budget, but some of those things do fall into the commercially sensitive nature of official information, so we'll see.
So what is the latest? What's Te Whatu Ora telling you about the opening date?
Well, Shane Reti, the health minister, he's given us a little bit more of an indication of the opening date. I couldn't get anything beyond mid-year from Te Whatu Ora, but Shane Reti says he thinks it should be open by June.
I'll stand by the statement that health workforce is the greatest hurdle we have in the health system, and your staffing for this is a factor that has resulted in it being delayed in opening.
I asked the Association of General Surgeons about could you get a hospital, a facility this size up and running in that time, and they said you could if you really cracked onto it, but it would be hard. You know, you need a lot of staff here, you need nurses, you need anaesthetic technicians, you need dedicated cleaners and security guards. I think recruitment has already started for them and for anaesthetic technicians. Surgeons, the way it works, they come and go from hospitals. Not every surgeon that works here will be dedicated to this facility, so that's less of a problem. But yeah, it's a big job to try and get it up and running by June. I mean, and that's for the first two stages. So, that's for the first stage, yeah, which is the first two levels. But Shane Reti tells us that that includes all 8 operating theatres that are in here, and also the 4 procedure rooms for endoscopies. So those are colonoscopies, gastroscopies, you know, things where they stick cameras in your body to see what's going on. So he says that first stage, which contains all of those things, should be open. And that first stage also includes 90 ward beds. In total, there'd be 150 ward beds in here. So if it is up and running by June, that'll be a lot of the surgical capacity, just not so much of the ward and bed capacity.
Will it add to the capacity that's already here in this area, or is it taking people from one hospital and putting them in another?
It's a little bit of both. So Shane Reti has told us that it'll be 8,000 operations can be done here a year when it's fully up and running, and 7,500 of those other endoscopy procedures. So 15,500 procedures. Te Whatu Ora says some of those will be diverted from private hospitals, which it is using at the moment to try to clear those really long wait lists that we've got.
Data shows the number of public-funded inpatient surgeries done in the private sector has actually doubled since 2015 to 20,000.
It's happening by, not by stealth, but simply by creeping, by the fact that the public system is creaking, that they haven't got enough people, essentially. It's this workforce crisis again.
So that's quite costly to outsource to the private sector. So those will come back in-house. Also, it has been doing a lot of weekend catch-up work.
The country's biggest district health board can't cope with the demand for elective surgery and has decided to do operations on the weekend in a bid to keep up. Operations are regularly being called off at Waitamata's North Shore and Waitakere hospitals and at its elective surgery centre because of a shortage of nurses. It's another example of a health system under strain.
So some of that will come back in here because that's not sustainable long term, you know, for your workforce. So it will be alleviating some of the existing stress, but also adding some capacity. Now, I don't know the ratio of what that will be. Probably no one does until it's up and running.
That's the sound from a video published in the Northern Advocate last week showing water from the leaking roof of Whangarei Hospital dripping into a bucket on the floor of the radiology department. It's a hospital in dire need of an upgrade, as this doctor explains.
We outgrew that hospital decades ago. The hospital itself is around 70 years old. It's well past its use-by date. We've got problems of chronically leaking roofs, an undersized ED and other units that are probably 50% smaller than they need to be. And this is in a region with immense poverty, some of the highest levels of unemployment in the country, highest levels of working poor in the country, of deprived children, a region that's grown something like 18% in 5 years as people move to Northland, and one of the highest rates of elderly in the country, I think 20% or 21% elderly.
Last month, the Prime Minister turned the first sod on a $60 million radiation cancer facility in Whangarei to be finished in 2026. But that's one part of a $750 million upgrade funded by the previous government. Shane Retty says he remains committed to the project. It's just not happening quickly. Then there's the $1.6 billion Dunedin Hospital, where costs just keep rising.
Beds and operating theatres have been cut from the design of a new hospital in Dunedin because of increasing building costs. Te Whatu Ora says an extra $200 million is needed to deal with cost pressures, largely caused by inflation. But after some to and fro, the government has put up an extra $110 million, leaving a $90 million budget shortfall.
And remember the waiting lists? 30,000 people around the country waiting at least 4 months for non-urgent surgery. Meanwhile, we're looking at a state-of-the-art surgical unit all ready to go and empty. So is it bad planning by Te Whatu Ora? Here's Rowan again.
I mean, doctors would tell you it's very bad planning. They've been crying out for years to improve the infrastructure of this hospital and many others. It's expensive. The last government started quite a lot of capital work to try to upgrade them, but it was really just the beginning. It is a problem for New Zealand that these public hospitals are really in dire need of an upgrade.
What about the shortage of staff? I mean, you followed this story up with another story saying that some of our best trained new specialists can't get jobs here. So on the one hand, we've got an empty brand new hospital that is delayed opening, and one of the reasons is because it doesn't have enough staff. On the other hand, we're hearing about, you know, top level specialist surgeons who can't get work.
And it's sort of crazy, isn't it? And the organisation that represents all those surgeons says it comes down to planning, that they're saying Te Whatu Ora needs to be working out how many surgeons it needs in the future, because these specialist surgeons, general surgeons, it takes a few years to train them. So they start off and there might be lots of demand for specialist general surgeons in the system, but by the time their 5 years are done, then there are fewer needed. So what they are saying is there needs to be planning so that we know when we come out, when we've finished our training, that there are jobs for us Te Whatu Ora says it's working on it. It says it is trying to come up with a plan. It's part of its remit as, you know, this new organisation, well, nearly 2 years old organisation now, that was bringing in all these different district health boards into one system. It now is trying to come up with a national plan to do that. But the surgeons are saying it needs to happen faster. We need clarity, otherwise we're losing all these brilliant new specialist general surgeons to overseas.
And what is the response from Te Whatu Ora to that?
They are saying that they want to keep them, that they value them, and that they are working on getting a workforce plan together to try to keep them.
The Prime Minister's response when this was raised about this hospital here is it's utterly disappointing.
So that's why you've seen us announce a third medical school. That's why you've seen us say make sure we've got medical staff on the green list for rapid importation of staff of immigrants into New Zealand. We've done a lot of things in the health space already. There's a lot more for us to do.
And the Labour Party says the government's been sitting on its hands.
A specific plan needs to be made for this hospital, and it's troubling that a pathway to getting this hospital open with the staff it needs in place hasn't been put forward.
Is that true?
Well, it depends who you talk to. Like, some of the doctors I've spoken to have thought some of the blame does lie with Labour, that the planning for this could have been started under their watch. But other people are saying that it's in the government's hands now, with Te Whatu Ora under them. Shane Retty, the health minister, says it's a priority for him. He says that he's getting weekly updates on it. He wants to see it up and running. But of course, it takes money to get it up and running. And this is a government that's talking about cutting back on public service spending. So it's going to be really interesting to see when the health budget comes out next month, whether this is specifically mentioned, whether buildings are specifically mentioned, the kind of spending that is allocated for the health system in general.
It doesn't instill much confidence in the public in the state of our health system. You know, that I mean, there have been complaints for years and years and years of these long, long queues, that we don't have enough nurses, that we're losing them to places like Australia.
Well, apparently the nursing is improving. So we have had about 2,000 new nurses in the last year or so. So when you talk to people in the sector, they say, yes, we are still short of nurses, but the situation's improving there. Anaesthetics techs are still a big problem. They are the people who run all the equipment in your operation. So the anaesthetist is the doctor that's checking that you're asleep and, you know, administering all the medicine. But all that technical equipment is run by technicians, and there's a big shortage of them. That's really important. It is a worldwide problem, as you probably have heard our government and our health officials say they're competing on a worldwide market. But yeah, it is hard to see how these huge waiting lists that we've got for surgery will be cleared anytime soon, when there's buildings like this that are empty and when we're still struggling to get staff to do that work.
It is going to open. It is going to open, isn't it?
By all intents and purposes, it's going to open. I mean, it is going to open. It would be crazy if it didn't. It's an expensive building. It's good to go. It's needed. It will open. They're hoping also, actually, that when it does, that these ward beds, so there are ward beds dedicated to surgery and that people will stay in after the operations, but there's also going to be two wards here that are medical wards for people who are non-surgical patients. And you might have heard in the news about emergency departments around the country, how they are chock-a-chock-a-block. This one here at North Shore, just, you know, about 2 or 3 minutes walk from the back door of this Tōtara Haumaru, is the emergency department here. They've had to start putting patients back in the corridor after years and years and years of having a very strict policy. They were one of those hospitals that wasn't going to do that. That's partly because they can't clear patients out of the emergency department when they need to be admitted to the hospital. So there is hope that at least the 60 or so medical beds will eventually help alleviate some of that as well.
So, Rowan, when I was scouting around looking at stories about Tōtara Haumaru, there was an interview that Tim Edmund from the Well Foundation did on 9 to Noon late last year. The Well Foundation is raising millions towards this project. One of the things that they are raising money, or they've been raising money for, is something called a healing garden.
You are going to walk into this expanse of three stories high, so 400 square metres, yes, but three stories high, and there is an evidence base that shows that it can reduce the levels of pain and stress, and that by doing that, you boost your immune system in ways that allow your body and other treatments to help you heal.
Yeah, it's a lovely thought that inside this building there would be greenery, and we can see around the outside of it here that there's planting. It hasn't sort of settled in yet, but and there's all these old pohutukawa trees near where we're standing that are around the outside of the hospital. But yeah, inside there's going to be sort of an atrium with a lovely garden in there that's supposed to be bringing in the healing property of nature to people who are there. And you know, hospitals are normally a very stark and clinical environment. So it's the sense that people will have some of the good energy, I guess, that you get from plants. What's happening to that? I don't know.
That's it for today. I'm Sharon Brett-Kelly. The Detail is supported by RNZ and NZ On Air. Phil Benge engineered this episode. Alexia Russell and Davina Zimmer produced it. And thanks to Rowan Quinn. Mā te wā.